An excellent spirit, what do you think that means? Okay. Anybody else have to add to that excellent spirit? I'm sorry? Oh, I heard the words. I didn't see the face. Joy of the Lord. Okay. He feared God. Absolutely. He had an excellent spirit because he was different than anybody else in the kingdom. He was different because he knew the God of heaven. He knew that these people knew by the testimony of others that this guy could do miraculous things. And Daniel, every time he did things, he didn't take it and pat himself on the back and say, "Oh, King, look how good I am." Every time he did this, he gave glory and diverted it to the God in heaven. And that was his testimony. Every time. It wasn't about him. It was what God did. God allowed him to interpret the dreams. God allowed him to understand the writing on the wall. It was God who did all these things. And he gave the glory to God each time. And so he had this excellent spirit. He had understanding. He had wisdom. Where in the world does that come from? God, that's right. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge of holiness, and understanding. So the fear of the Lord is revealed in our obedience above all else. We see that. We can also, just like Daniel did, we can have that excellent spirit, or we can know that we're walking with God and God is with us and we're traveling down the path. Now, Daniel had to grow up just like all of us. He learned step by step, just like all of us. But it was because he was willing to be faithful. There were many times in Daniel's life that he chose to serve God and face death. Can you think of any of those times? Other than the one we're going to read about today? Absolutely. He took I'm not saying he took a chance because he knew he was right and he knew God would provide either way. But he, by a step of faith, he chose to petition the king about what he was going to eat because he knew it was against God. And he wasn't going to do that. Just the food that he ate, he was not going to do wrong. What else? Do you remember another time? What's the second chapter about? I'm sorry? Three. That's chapter three. Nebuchadnezzar and the dream that he said he didn't know. Remember that? He went to the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the Chaldeans, and he said, "Tell me what this is." And he wouldn't give them the. He said, "Well, tell us what the dream is." "Well, you got to tell me what the dream is and the interpretation." They couldn't do it. He made a decree right then and there. What did he say? I don't know the exact words, Henry. Very good. We got a student up here. They would all have to be killed. All these magicians, Chaldeans, soothsayers, astrologers, and that included Daniel, who had never stood before the king yet to help him out in any way. And so Daniel made a petition, and he got to go to the king, and he talked to the king, and the king gave him, I think it was one night, and he went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, asked them to pray. They got down and prayed. God revealed the vision and the interpretation thereof. But that was a life or death situation. You see, but what did he do? He trusted God. And of course, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did the same thing as well in chapter 3. But here we're going to see, again, he's going to do this. So here we have these princes. There's 120 of them. There's two other presidents and then Daniel. And these guys were jealous. I can imagine them being jealous. First off, we got this old guy who's leading us. He's telling us what to do. Man, you ought to retire and be done. You know what I mean? And then, not only that, but he wasn't one of them. He wasn't like them. He was probably different, you know. He was probably, as a Jew and someone who's serving God, they knew he was different. You ever felt that at work? You ever been in a job where you want to serve God with your whole heart and you get ridiculed and people don't like that? Sometimes they call you names and tell you you're kissing up to the boss. stuff like that? Well, you know, that's hogwash, because the boss is the Lord. And you serve him first. That means you're going to do the best job you can where you're at. That's the natural inclination to the whole thing. And they're not going to like it, you, for it, because you're going to make them look bad. You're not there to make them look bad, but they're going to be convicted. Why? Because you're serving the true and living God. That's what happens. And so, anyway, these people are jealous. And so as they were jealous, they come up with a plan, verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Now, it's saying they couldn't find anything against him. There was nothing he was doing that was wrong. And so what they do, they said, well, we can't find anything that he does according to our laws or whatever. But what about the law of God? They're not the same as our laws. What does he do that's different? They knew that Daniel went and prayed to God. They knew that he bowed down to a holy God and not the gods of this world. And so, notice it says in the Bible there that all of these governors and kings and princes and all this stuff were called together. Well, actually, it was the princes and the presidents. But they told the king, all these people came together and they said, we think this ought to be done. But the fact is, they lied. Where was Daniel? Isn't he one of these? Actually, he's number one. Now, I don't know why the king didn't suspect something. Maybe Daniel was off doing something else. Maybe they waited the right time when Daniel had to be assigned, or maybe he was doing, you know, some other job somewhere else in the kingdom. Whatever reason, he wasn't there. And so they snuck this in by trickery, and they got these guys, the princes, the 120 princes and the two presidents, convinced the king. They were at the palace and you had all these people there. Oh, king, this is a great thing. And of course, the king, he's thinking, well, that sounds pretty good. Nobody can bow down to anybody else but me. I'm the king. I'm in charge of everything. And so, of course, he signed it. And as soon as he did, we look and see what happens. Look in verse 10. We see Daniel and his resolve. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and in his window, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did before time. I want you to look at those last four words. As he did aforetime. What's this tell me? It tells me, here's a faithful man. He just didn't open his window and decide to do it this day. He didn't say, well, I better go serve God because now they're making me do it. He always did it. That's his character. That's his testimony. That's our should be our testimony. That should be the way we are as well. And so we're striving for that because we just want to be someone who's like Daniel, someone who is serious about serving God, and we want to follow God. And to do that is be consistent in what God calls us to do. Verse 11 says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Verse 12 says, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save O king, of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. So here, Daniel, he did what he normally did. He didn't falter in it. He wasn't afraid when he was challenged when they came up with this law. He didn't bow down to them. He didn't say, well, I'll hold out for 30 days. It's interesting to me that there's always a way out of these things when we think of it from our perspective. Only 30 days. If I don't do this for 30 days, I'm going to be scot-free. Or number two, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to bow down to the window in front of Jerusalem. I'm going to go to bed and pray in secret. I'll still pray, but I'll do it in secret somewhere else where people can't see me. There were a lot of ways out for Daniel. They're called compromise. But he chose to do what he always did because he wasn't going to stop from serving God. Again, that's the testimony that we as Christians, we want that same thing. Doing what we always do, it's our natural course. It's who we are. People know us because we do these things. And that's important. And so Daniel, he was resolved to follow God no matter what. He didn't care what these guys came up with. He didn't care that there was a law. Now, he wasn't trying to disrespect the king either. That wasn't a part of it. That wasn't the plan. He just wanted to do what was right. Verse 14 says, then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased. Oh, man. The king knew that they had tricked him. The king was upset about this. It tore him apart. He says, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. In his mind, he's thinking, hey, look, I made the law. Maybe I can do something about it. But the fact of the matter is, they went to the king and made sure that he could not. We'll see that as we go on. And so, verse 15 says, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Again, reminding him, you can't do anything about this. And so then we see Daniel, the sentence being carried out. Then the king commanded that they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I don't think he did this in the confidence of saying, don't worry, Daniel, nothing's going to happen, because we'll see when we read on. But he did it in the hope that maybe his God would deliver him. Okay? And so that was the only thing he had left. The king couldn't do anything about it. His hands were tied. Daniel was in the lion's den, and he was there. Verse 17 says, and the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet. Now look what else. It says, and with the signet of his lords. All those princes got their signet on this, or maybe it was the president's, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. In other words, they, these princes and these people that were in authority, that king gave them these positions, they wanted to make sure that they had their signet on it too. That's probably a bad mistake for them. But that's what they did. And so Daniel is in the lion's den, and he's got to stay there through the night. And these lions, they weren't lions that were tame. These are probably not lions that you would ever want to go in a cage with a stool and a whip. These lions were in there. They were always kept at the state of being hungry. Maybe to the point of starving. I mean, they fed them, but they didn't feed them good, because their purpose was to take care of all those people that did something against the king. That's this whole purpose of this thing. And so you know these lions were ferocious. You know these lions could tear Daniel apart in a second. If they threw me in the lion's den, I'd probably have a heart attack before they got to me. Just the thought of doing it, right? please, Lord, kill me now, or whatever. But the fact is, Daniel, being faithful to God, he went in. We don't have anything here that says he went in kicking and screaming. He wasn't shouting and make a big thing out of it. Why would he do that? Again, Daniel is a man that has made his peace with God and has trusted him all his life, and he's going to trust him now. Daniel would probably be like Paul. You know, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He was probably had that attitude. And all these folks who have been in that Bible that have served God faithfully, they probably understood that, and they probably could have wrote that scripture just as well as Paul was allowed to. But the fact is here he is. He's in a bad situation. So then we look at what God can do. Verse 18 says, then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. So we see the king, he couldn't sleep all night. In fact, he was fasting. He couldn't eat. I mean, he was tore up about this. That's how much he had faith in Daniel. He really wanted Daniel to be in that position. That's why he chose him to be first. And he probably hated himself for being tricked into having Daniel put in the lion's den. But he just couldn't sleep, couldn't do anything. So what's he do? He gets up first thing in the morning, and he bolts down to that lion's den. Verse 19, then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. He bolted down, I guess, unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice. You know what a lamentable voice is? It's like someone who's sick, okay? It's someone who's brokenhearted. Oh, Daniel! Oh, Daniel! And, of course, we know the Bible tells us, Daniel spoke up and says, O king, live forever. And he heard that voice. And he knew Daniel was alive. Let's skip on down in verse 22. The first word in that passage there is what? My. What does that mean? My. And this is something you can clench your fist about, okay? And hold on to. You know how I tell you all the time? You got to open your hands and give it to God. Well, God, my God. He's mine personally. He's Daniel's personally. He said, my God delivered me. Look how he said it here. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency, I'll get that out tomorrow, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And so here he was, he's standing in the lion's den. They open the thing up, and there he was. And I can't imagine, the lions are probably, and I don't know how many, didn't say, but they're probably over there curled up, just kind of sitting there. And Daniel, maybe he was petting them. You know, a lot of pictures show that. He could have been that. Their mouths were shut by God, the angel that God sent. Now, why would God send an angel when he could have just, up in heaven, he could have just said, lion, shut your mouths. Don't open them. And these mouths were, I believe, shut as though they were tied down with wire or whatever. In other words, when God does something, he does it right. They had no opportunity to do anything to Daniel. It's like removing the fangs of a snake or removing the teeth of maybe lions or whatever. That's basically what it is. They're not able to at least eat you or bite you. They may do something else. But anyway, so he's there with this lion, the angel. So why did God send the angel? I was thinking about that. Why would God send the angel? Anybody have any thoughts on that? It is. That's exactly right, I believe. He sent the angel to stay with Daniel, give him company. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Lord came in and was with them. It's the same thing. I think that's exactly right. As the Lord was there, and God wanted him to know that you were protected, you're being cared for. I love you more than I love these things, and I appreciate what you've done and how you've lived your life. And he was there for him. To me, that's an amazing thought. So Daniel, he was delivered from this by God. And we see as we go on down through the passage, then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. What were those last four, five words? Because he believed in. Do we believe in our God enough that we would be willing to go to a lion's den? Got at least one up here shaking his head. Childlike faith. That's how important it is. Now, we're not going to test you. But that's where we need to come with God, okay? We need to be able to come and give our lives to God. And once when we can do that, then we know we're trusting him completely and wholly. And that means that sometimes we might need to get stepped on by somebody to prove that we're giving our life to God. God tells us to do what when you get smacked on the cheek? Tilt your head and hit him with the fist? Oh, turn the other cheek and let him have that. You know, we say that, sounds simple, but that's what God has for us. When we're persecuted, something happens, we're to turn the other cheek. Offer it up. If someone takes your coat, what are you supposed to give them? Your cloak also, according to Scripture. So we're to learn to be different than the world. And yet we all struggle with that. If you were to come smack my face, depends on who you are. If you're Matt, I'm just going to say, what was that for? And don't do it again, please. Pretty please. Now, if it's Ethan, I might hit him. I'm just saying. But the fact is, we need to learn that principle so we can stand before our town and be able to demonstrate that we do believe what the Bible says. When we're persecuted, we're not to persecute others, are we? We're to praise God for that. Again, these are all hard sayings, and I know that. But this is what Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are teaching us through this book of Daniel. So the king was overjoyed. And we know that God was all over this whole thing. I'd say his fingerprints, but I don't know if God has fingerprints. I've heard people say that. I don't think so. But anyway, he was all over this. He took care of this situation. And the king was so excited about this. But then I want you to see the rest of verse 24. It says, and the king commanded that they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery over them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. These were hungry lions. And God intervened. When I read these passages and understand, I see that I really don't even know God that well. Because to get to this point where we're serving Him with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul, I don't have mine on me, but that phone is no more important. It's a great tool for emergencies, but it's not important. Your computer should not be the center of your life. And I tell you, I struggle with this too. If I leave the house without a phone, it's like, we better go get that thing. We might need to look at it or something real quick. But it's crazy. And we're focused on so many things that we can't even be blessed by because we're not willing to focus on God and do the basic things and trust Him for the best basic things and let Him show Himself mighty in our lives. But that's exactly what God wants to do. Let's finish this up. And let me give you this real quick too. This is an aside rabbit trail. But you saw here, when these men did this thing that was wrong, who else was affected by it? Okay. What's the teaching there for us today? Nothing, right? How about husbands, number one? If you're not doing the right things and following Jesus Christ, you're putting your family in danger. That's exactly what this is teaching us. Now, they may not have to face the lions then, but there are a lot of other things that they might have to face because we as men are not willing to stand on the Word of God and practice what the Bible teaches us. It works with women too, and it works with kids. But I'm speaking to fathers mostly because they're going to stand and give an account to God for their families. I'm going to stand and give an account to God for what I did with my family. Because it's my responsibility. God gave me that responsibility. And so it's important. So let's just finish reading the last of it here. It says, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and language that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. Now look, this is a better decree, right? Why is he making this decree? Because there was a man named Daniel that was willing to stand for God and the principles of God. Look what happens. If we would start doing this, if I would start doing this, if all of us would start doing this, he says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven. And in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? What did this king, this Gentile king do who just took over Babylon, what did he just do? He told everybody in his kingdom, that the God Daniel serves is the God who can do all things. And you better not mess with him. That's what he's telling them. What happened there? The same thing that 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us. God got the glory. And that's what happens when a man, a woman, a child, a person who's born again will serve God completely and totally. God gets the glory in a big way. See, in other words, we can do greater things, but we have to be more faithful. It's like moving that mountain. And again, I haven't done it yet either. The very last verse, it says, so this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. You want to prosper? You want to have great success? Well, the Bible tells us in Joshua to meditate on the Word of God in Joshua 1:8. And when you do that, you'll serve God with all your heart and you'll want to follow Him with all your heart. And through that, God will do miraculous things. Why? Because He wants to use His servants to do it. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, again, we do thank You. We know that each one of us, Father, struggle. But as I study the Bible, again, I see that my viewpoints seems to be narrowing more, not less. I understand I'm free from the bondage of sin, yet I struggle with it. I know that You're on the throne and You're there to help and guide me through this. But I know also I'm a stubborn person and I'm prideful. And because of that, I have a hard time sometimes overcoming these things. Father, I just pray today that You would help me and others in this room to take note of what's hindering us from serving God, being faithful to all the things of God. And then, Father, make a commitment to challenge one of those things that we might have victory and be able to take the next step of faith. Well, thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pianist, go ahead and play 166.